This recording is provided by Times Square Church in New York City. You're welcome to make additional copies for free distribution to friends. All other unauthorized duplication or electronic transmission is a violation of copyright and other applicable laws. This recording cannot be posted on any website. However, written permission to link to the Times Square Church homepage may be requested by emailing info@timesquarechurch.org. Other recordings are available by calling 1-800-488-0854 or by writing to Times Square Church Tape Ministry, 1657 Broadway, New York, New York, 10019.
I was supposed to preach here 2 weeks ago, and I was so terribly sick I was here. And I want to thank Pastor Neil for coming in the last minute. And that's terrible, the last minute that he had to just step up here and preach. And thank you. And thank you for praying for me. I'm privileged to be part of this ministry and to be pastor with the seniors. I thank God for the privilege. And you pray for me that God will give me the strength and help me to do everything He wants done. Now, I have an announcement about the seniors. We're changing the time. It's going to be starting Wednesday, June 6th. That's 2 weeks away. It's going to be 11:30 to 12:30. We'll be prayer and praise and seeking God. Now, we need you. God needs you. We want 150 people meeting, seniors meeting there and praying. You've got a ministry. We want men and women. Praise God. And we need you. God needs you. We're going to meet together for the first hour and pray and storm heaven for a mighty revival in New York City. We're going to stand up to the devil's power and ask God to step in and intervene and send a revival to this city. Praise God for Times Square Church, for the ministries, for all it's done. But not just here. We want to see a revival in this area, and God can do it. God is able. Let's get together and pray with us. And that's June 6th. Praise God. God wants to give you a ministry. Even those that are 65 and older, get out with us. And then for those that are 65 and up, we're going to stay for fellowship, table fellowship and lunch, and a time of growing together and sharing and believing God to meet our needs and the needs of the folks that are here and of this ministry. But let's get down to business and seek God. Hallelujah. And I'm looking forward to seeing you. Starting June 6th, it'll change. And we're going to have music and seeking God and believing God and calling on God with everything within us. And we shall see a revival and we will break through. And we are going to believe God. Come on, let's say amen tonight. Let's get with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So remember that. Praise God. Praise God. Now, I'm going to pray that you will be miserable on Wednesdays at 11:30 if you don't show up. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to say, God, you know where they are. Make them miserable right now. Just get a hold of them and shake them up and get them out here to pray. And hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Now, my text tonight is found in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, and starting at the 8th verse. 1 Peter 5. Be sober. Be serious. Be sober. Be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Be sober. Be vigilant. Your adversary, your enemy, the devil, walks around. Travels around about looking for it, come about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy, devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you tonight about fighting satanic lions and winning. Fighting these devilish lions and winning over them. And being victorious in the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Some of the lions we face, that people face, are emotional lions. Depression, discouragement, worries, fear. Some of them are fleshly. Lust, immoral habits, wrong ideas. There are physical lions. Gross illnesses, afflictions, terrible situations physically. Sometimes there are financial problems. And my mother suffered this because she was left with six children, so I know something about financial problems. With no state aid, no husband, no relatives, hundreds of miles from her family in Connecticut. She come from North Carolina. And she has tremendous stories to tell of God providing for six children and her, and a blind aunt with no income whatsoever. None. And Satan, of course, said, "You'll starve, but take a look at me. I've had a weight problem all of my life." Hallelujah. He's a liar. Hallelujah. We have family problems. Divorce is rampant. Separation. Serious problems within families with children. And deadly problems. And sometimes the lions are satanic lions trying to stop you from the ministry God has called you to. There are lions, Satan gets in the way. If you plan to do something for God, Satan puts one of his roaring lions in the path to stop you and to keep you from becoming what God wants you to become. They're everywhere. Now, there's a tremendous story that I love and a character in the Old Testament that I am familiar with. And I want you to remember this name tonight, Benaiah. Say Benaiah. Maybe you never met him. I want you to meet a man by the name of Benaiah tonight. The story is in 2 Samuel 23, and starting at the 20th verse. Benaiah was the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man from Kabzeel. He did mighty deeds. He killed two lion-like heroes of Moab. He also went down, listen to this, and killed a lion in the midst of a pit on a snowy day. Can you imagine? God put the weather in here. And he killed an Egyptian, a spectacular man. The Egyptian had a spear in his hand, so he went down to him with a staff, wrestled a spear out of the Egyptian's hands, and killed him with his own spear. These things Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, did and won a name of one David's mighty men. Benaiah went down in the pit with this lion on a freezing, dark, snowing day. His hands are freezing. He can't have a lot of clothes on because he's going to fight this lion. And he goes down in the pit when it's dark, it's cold, it's snowing, he can't see him, it's a depressing situation. And he faces this lion and comes out victorious. Now, there's a lesson in that for us, how you fight. How you fight. First of all, the first thing you've got to remember this in fighting the demonic lions is that you don't run. You don't run. I don't care how loud the lion roars, nor what he looks like. They look terrible. And he, with his face, this situation is destruction. He has the ability, as St. Peter said, these lions have the ability to devour you. He's out there to destroy you. This is a fight to the finish. Satan isn't playing games. He's out to get you. And he sends out these demonic forces to get you. You've got to fight. You can't run. Lions will outrun you. You can't outrun a lion. Don't try it. You have to turn and face your problem. And face your situation. And look that devil straight in the face. And let him roar. And you look back at him. In the name of Jesus Christ. Who's won the victory already. Hallelujah. One of the great weapons that you've got to learn to use is prayer. You pray. You ask God to help you. Instead of running. Now, one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible is Luke, the 18th chapter, and the first verse. And it says, men and women, everybody, every Christian, ought always pray and never faint. Pray and never give in to discouragement. Say pray.
Pray.
Oh, say it loud.
Pray.
You pray when you see the lion. You call on God to help you. You need help. You're no match for the devil. You're no match for Satan's lions. But God is a match. Hallelujah. And you need to call on God to help you. Prayer. One of the great examples of winning in praying is Moses. Moses fought the greatest battle outside of Jesus Christ ever fought on planet Earth was Moses. Fought in the delivering of the children of Israel. And Satan withstood him with the roaring lions of Pharaoh. And Moses got this word from God to go deliver the children of Israel. And it was a great story, and I've got to hurry it up. And he goes, and he and Aaron, and they tell the elders of Israel that the God of Abraham has now appeared to them, and 430 years or so have passed, and now God has spoken to him, and he is going to deliver them. And they are so ecstatic. They are so happy and so excited. And Moses and Aaron go to Pharaoh and tell him, let God says, the God of Abraham, the God of the creation, our God, the God of the Hebrews says, let my people go. And Pharaoh said, who is this God? And so Pharaoh turns on the people of Israel and makes it worse and takes the straw and makes it impossible. And they begin to beat them. Instead of it getting better, it gets worse. Instead of it improving, it gets terrible. It gets worse. So now when you start fighting the lions and fighting the battle to win, expect Satan to fight back. He doesn't cooperate. And he fought back. And those men were dying and being beaten. And they go, and the leaders go to Pharaoh and beg him and plead with him. It's not right. Have mercy on us. You're killing us. And you're making it impossible. And Moses and Aaron is standing when they come out. And they said to Moses and Aaron, God, look at you. Look at you. You said God would deliver us. And look what's happened. They're killing us. Hasn't gotten better. We're not getting free. We're being destroyed. Did Moses give up? Never. Did he quit? Never. He did what you've got to do. He went back to God and prayed. and ask God, what happened, God? And you'll have to ask God that sometime. What happened? It didn't work like I thought. But go tell him and go talk to God. He listens and he'll talk to you. Go back to God in prayer. Don't you give up. Don't you turn around and don't you surrender. You go back to prayer. And God said, just hang on there, Moses, because I'm just getting started. Hallelujah. And this is not the 15th round. This is round one. Praise God. And I am going to win. Hallelujah. And God told Moses, keep on going. Moses, you're going to win. And God will say that to you. He says to you, when you go back and pray and the devil has hit you, you go back and God will say, hang in there. We're going to win. We're going to win. God's a winner. Hallelujah. Moses prayed. Well, they were delivered. They had the miracle of the Red Sea, and they went through, and God led them, and they had the song service, and it was incredible. And they went a few short distance and a little time, came to a place called Rephidim. No water. Children were crying. Cattle is panting. Parents are terrible. There's no water. They turn on Moses. And Moses runs, and they say, we're going to stone you. Why did you bring us out? Poor Moses. They start turn on him, and Moses says this to God. He went to God and told God, he said, God, they're ready to stone me. And he cries out to God, they're going to kill me. And God says, Moses, I've got the answer. I'll tell you what to do. Speak. And he says, hit the rock. And the water will come out. And God gave him water. Every time he went back in prayer. And prayer will change it. Go back to God. Take Luke 18. Men ought to pray and not faint. And don't give up. And don't run. And don't turn around. And stay in the battle. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I think of Hezekiah. I think of the wonderful, in 2 Kings, the 20th chapter, the story of Hezekiah. Isaiah went to King Hezekiah from the Lord and said, Hezekiah, God has sent me to tell you, you're going to die. Get everything ready, it's all over. A message from God. God said, I'm taking you. Isaiah, if Isaiah had said that to me, I hope I'd have had the faith that Hezekiah had to still pray. Man alive, Isaiah had an incredible track record. And he came and said, this man, you're going to die. And what did Hezekiah? Didn't set his house in order. He didn't do what God said do. That's one time you should disobey. And he didn't do what God said. He prayed instead. He did Luke 18. Hallelujah. Way back in the Old Testament. And he prayed. And he turned his face to the Lord. And he cried out to God. And said, God, you know I've served you and I'm calling upon you. Don't do this. Change your mind. And God changed his mind. I love it. Hallelujah. God changed his mind. Isaiah hadn't even gotten out of the building. And God says, go turn around, Isaiah. Go back. I've changed my mind. And I'm going to tell Hezekiah that I have heard his prayer. I have heard your prayer. God wants to say it to some people in this audience tonight. I heard your prayer. And I saw your tears. And he said, Hezekiah, I'm adding 15 years to your life. In 3 days, you'll go to church. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. God can change his mind when you pray. There is nothing too hard for God. Hallelujah. There's no situation, no problem too big for God. We have a woman here in this church. She's in the seniors group. She's a fantastic help to us. I really appreciate her. Her name is Jody, Sister Jody. Sister Jody works in the kitchen getting the meals ready and always brings me too much. She treats me special, which is not really nice, but I like it anyhow. Right. And Sister Jody told me this story the other day. She said, Pastor, 16 years ago, I was dying. My heart. I was in and out of the hospitals. And finally, a doctor friend of mine sent me to the Jewish hospital here in Manhattan, Sinai Hospital, sent me there. And when I got there, they told me that it was hopeless. My heart was gone, incurable. It couldn't be helped. The only thing would be if they could give a transplant. I was finished. And Jody said that night, she cried out to God out of the depths of her soul. She cried and lifted her voice to God and surrendered her life to God. And at the depths of her being, she cried out. And she said that night in the hospital room, God heard her prayer and physically picked her up and rocked her in his arms like a baby and said to her, Jody, I'm giving you a new heart. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. And in 10 days, they came in, you know, they come in with a heart. When they've got one, they come in there with a heart and got Jody ready. And a minute has to be done quick and rushed her down there and transplanted. There was a young man that was killed in a motorcycle accident. They took his heart and it was a perfect match for Jody's, a perfect match. And it's been 16 years and she looks terrific and she's going strong today. There's a God in heaven that can give you a new heart. Hallelujah. Let's thank God for Jody. Thank you, Jesus. Secondly, you got to get into the Word. You got to fight with the sword. You got to get in. Now, people don't really take this book serious enough. And they take too small of doses. I read a chapter. Forget it. No chapter. You read several. You really eat a big meal in this book every day. You get this word into you because you've got to have this word, the sword of the Spirit, in order to fight the devil. The classic example is the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke, the 4th chapter, Satan came to him. He had fasted 40 days. He was starving. He hadn't had a drop of water. It was inhuman. It's impossible to live that way without God sustaining you. And after 40 days, Satan came to him and said, if you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. You're dying. But Jesus answered back with the word of God, it is written, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of the mouth of God. It is written. And Satan could not get through past that book and that word with the Lord Jesus Christ. And later on, he took him to a place high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of this world. And he said, if you will fall down and worship me, they're mine, and I will give you the world. You don't have to go to the cross. You don't have to die. There's a shortcut. You can have it. All you've got to do is go my way. And he says that to everybody. There's a shortcut. What you want, you can have from me. I've got the answer. That's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie from the devil. And you've got to see it at that. There's no shortcut. Hallelujah. No way. And Jesus said, no, it is written, hallelujah, it is written, you shall worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. Hallelujah. Praise God. Then later on, he took him to the pinnacle of the temple and said, if you are the Son of God, cast yourself down. And he quoted the 91st Psalm to Jesus. And he says, it says in the Bible and he will give his angels charge over you. And lest you dash your foot against the stone, they will bear you up in their hands. Unless you dash your foot against the stone, if you're the Son of God, jump down and let the angels take care of you, and nothing will happen to you. And prove to me and prove to yourself that you are who you say you are. And Jesus once again told Satan to get behind him. It is written, praise God, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Get the word of God. One of the great struggles, I often refer to this, of my life. I'd been saved about a year, and I had that incredible struggle and battle with this lion. I had to fight that lion about a year, that demon power that was coming against me with fear. And I took that 91st Psalm that the devil quoted, and I quoted back, and God gave it to me. I've carried it on me for 60 some years. I have always had part of that psalm on me all the time. There's nothing magic about it, but I wanted that word of God to become alive in my heart, and I lived with it, and it came, and I used that word and stood up to the devil, and Satan was defeated in my life, and I was able to go into the ministry and to do the work that God had called me to do. And God wants you to get the word of God into you. Get the book into you. Get the word into you. Don't just listen to the radio spiritual programs. That's all good. But get that book and get those gospels and that New Testament and the stories of that book. Get filled with the word of God. And then you can use that sword against the enemy that you can quote it right. I've seen so many people destroyed for they didn't have a lack of the knowledge of the book to stand up to the lions of the devil, and I've seen them destroyed. I beg you tonight, get the book, get to pray, and get the word, and fight the devil with the word like Jesus did. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Hallelujah. Paul called it, Ephesians, the 6th chapter, the sword of the Spirit. Wield that sword. Come against those demonic forces with the sword. Quote the book. Live the book. Love the book. Know the book. Use the book. These two things, praying and the word, bring you to the third great element of victory, and that's faith. It's praying and a book that will bring faith into you that you can stand up and put that sword into the lions the devil brings to you. It's the combination of prayer and the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The faith of God will come into you. God will answer your prayers for you and for your family. There's nothing too hard for God. Hallelujah. You know, you've got to love Jeremiah, that great prophet of the Old Testament, the weeping prophet. In one of the most difficult situations that any man ever faced on planet Earth, God asked Jeremiah, "Jeremiah, is anything too hard for me?" And Jeremiah answered back, "No, there's nothing too hard for you. There's no circumstance, there's no battle you're fighting." When I was 2 years old, I was stricken with an illness, colitis. I had 106 fever. My cousin, who was the dentist, took my mother to the hospital. They stopped more than 10 times on their way about 50 miles to the major hospital, Duke Hospital in Durham, North Carolina. They were on their way, and each time my cousin would stop and see if I was dead. There was no point in going. So they stopped at least 10 times in those 50 miles to see if I was still alive. I got to the hospital, and I was so sick, terrible, my legs, the bottom part of my body was in shock, was freezing. Top part was 106, raging fever. And they gave me up. One of the ministers from the church went home and told them all that I died. That I had died. The Crandall boys dead. My mother went to the corner of the room and gave up and realized didn't want to see the end, said, "Now I give him to you. He's yours. You can take him, but you can heal him. You're God Almighty. You're God. You're the Lord, the healer." And a miracle happened, and God raised me up. My cousin, other cousin, was a medical doctor, and he was an agnostic. But he said to me, when he came to our family and come to see us, he said, "Here's the boy that was raised from the dead. You were dead. God raised me up in an answer to a mother's prayer." God can do anything, folks. Take a look. I'm here because a mother went into the corner of the hospital room and cried out, just like Jody did, and cried out for her son. And God turned the tide and raised me up, which was a miracle. Nobody believed it would happen. Nobody. Doctors and no one else. But I'm here. There's a God in heaven. I thank God for medicine. I thank God for everything He does. The Word of God come to her. God wants you to believe Him. All things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible. There is nothing too hard for God. God wants you to be a man and a woman of faith. God wants to put His faith into you that you can believe in the face of obstacles, that you can cry out in the face of the impossibilities, and you can speak faith, hallelujah, and live faith because you're a man of prayer. You're a woman of prayer. You're a man of the Word. You're a woman of the Word. You're walking with God. You're living with God. And I'm telling you, there's no lion big enough that can take you down when you're into God the way He wants you to be. Hallelujah. You can do it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You can do it. Praise God. Fourth, you've got to be persistent. You must be persistent. The lions of the devil are persistent. I fought some of them for a year, 2 years at a time before I could ever kill them. Praise God. But I've won because of persistence, and you will win being persistent. Two stories in Luke's gospel Jesus gives about persistence. In the 18th chapter, after that first verse, he tells a story of the wicked judge. And says the woman won over a judge who didn't fear God nor man because of her persistence. She would not give up. She fought and stayed there in the court. And finally, he had to listen to this woman. And then he tells it again in the 11th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. He gives the story of a friend that comes at midnight. It's midnight or after midnight. He knocks on the door of his friend and says, "I just had company come and I don't have anything. And I need you to get up and share some food with me, some bread and some other stuff. I've got to feed them. They've been coming a long ways. They didn't get here till the middle of the night. I hate to bother you. I know it's late, but would you please do me the favor and get up and go to the kitchen and get me some food and help me out? You know, I'm your neighbor. I'm your friend. You know, we're really friends." He said, "You know, I'd love to help you. I appreciate you, and you are my neighbor, but I'm in bed, and the children are asleep, and I don't want to disturb them, and please do something else. Go to somebody else. I just can't get up." And the friend keeps knocking and says, no, I can't go to anybody else. I got to have your help." And it won't go away. But he says, "You know, it's late. Did you know what time it is?" "Yeah, I know what time it is, but I can't help it. They're over there." But he said, no, I have to have it." Well, he said, "You know, I don't want to wake these children up. They might not go back to sleep, and I'm going to lose my rest, and I got to work tomorrow. It's terrible. It's late." He said, "Yeah, I know all that, and I think you'll go back to sleep." But he said, "Please get up and help me." And finally, he gets up. And he gets up and he goes quiet and he gets in his place. And you take this and run and go as quick as you can and get out of here. And Jesus says, that's what you got to do. You got to keep on knocking. You got to keep on knocking. You got to keep on knocking. And you knock and you knock and you don't give up. 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 And you never turn back. And you never quit. And you hang in there and you win. Praise God. You don't run. You don't give up. You don't quit fighting. You stay in there till you become a winner. Praise God. Persistent. The last that I've got to mention to you is you've got to be obedient. You've got to listen to God. You've got to listen when you pray. He'll tell you what to do. He'll tell you. But you might not like what he says. He'll tell you what you have to do to win the victory. He'll speak to you. And you must listen. Jonah was in the belly of a whale. That's a tough place for a prayer meeting. But God had said, go to Nineveh. He didn't go to Nineveh. He didn't go. And the God had a big fish. And Jonah had 3 days to think it over. And somewhere he tells how he prayed. And he cried out to God in the depths of the sea. And he called and he said, God, if you let me out of here, I will go straight to Nineveh. I'll preach like a man from another world. Praise God. I'm headed for Nineveh. And while he's praying, God gives the orders, sends a message to the whale or to the big fish, go toward Nineveh. He's praying. Praise God. He's talking to me. My language, he's saying, yes, I'm going. Hallelujah. So you've got to say yes. You've got to say yes. I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to be obedient to what you say. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. While you stand praying, the Bible says forgive. God, one of the great hindrances, that's just one of them. While you're praying and you're calling on God to help you fight the battles of life. And God says, now when you're praying, forgive. So there's forgiveness. That's one of the greatest obstacles in the world to getting prayers answered is unforgiveness. And there's things you've got to make right. He tells us what to do. And he tells us sometimes to do things that we really don't want to do. We really would rather not. I was praying for God to give me a new touch and a new anointing. And the Lord told me, you know, when you were president of the Bible school, you made some decisions that were not kind. You were rough on some people. Now I want you to make that right. But you know, God, I was the president. I'd really rather not make that right. I'd rather not. But I had to stand up in front of the entire alumni and say, you know, you can make decisions and you don't have to run, but you got to make them the right way. I made some harsh decisions. I was too hard on some people. I want to ask the alumni to forgive me. It was humiliating. That's all right. Humble yourself before the Lord. Don't be afraid to come down. Don't be afraid to acknowledge. Go back to your wife. Go back to whoever you've insulted or wherever you've done wrong. Go back and make it right, because you've got to have a clear channel with God. You've got to have the path open that you can pray. And when God tells you that you're seeking God, He'll tell you what to do. He'll ask you to do some difficult things. He'll ask you to do some humbling things. Praise God. He tells you what to do. Sometimes you don't like to do it. Praise God. He told Naaman, go and dip 7 times in the Jordan. Naaman said, there's a lot better rivers where I come from than that muddy Jordan. No, the prophet said, that's not the point. God said, go and dip in Jordan 7 times. If you want to get healed, go to Jordan and dip. Praise God. And old Naaman went down to Jordan while they all watched and got soaking wet and went down 7 times. And on the 7th time when he came up, The leprosy is gone. Hallelujah. He's healed. Praise God. There's power in obedience. There's power in doing what God says. He's got a plan for you. He's got a message for you. And He'll tell you what to do. One of the great trials of my life. I'd been pastoring for 10 years. We had leased a theater. I was in a theater. It wasn't as big as this. It seated about 700. Bensonhurst in Brooklyn. We were on a 1010 on your dial, one of the large radio stations in the city. A large choir, several hundred people had come at by that time. And I'm fasting and praying. And on a Sunday night, in fasting, seeking God, all of a sudden, I went home and I went to pieces. I had a total collapse. Couldn't sleep. Fear came on me. Demonic fear. I collapsed. I could not sleep anymore. I was going like crazy. Raising the money for the radio, for the lease, for everything. And we had a tremendous success. And all of a sudden, I'm finished. I have two small children. I can't sleep. Somehow, intuitively, I understood that a psychiatrist can't help me. This is spiritual. God has to help me if I'm going to get help. While I'm like this, I'm driving under the elevator on McDonald Avenue in Brooklyn, and an alcoholic, a drunk, jumps out in front of the car, and I hit him. Thank God he was preserved in alcohol. And he got up. He was so drunk, he didn't even know I hit him. I thank God for one man being drunk. And he walked away. But it shook me up. I'm so bad already. I keep on going. I'm speaking, preaching, right on preaching. Can't sleep, never sleeping. And a guy sitting on the front, while we bow to pray, runs up to kill me, gets a bottle, goes right by my head, just misses me, then grabs another one and comes after me, right in the middle of the meeting, the service, and the ushers grabbed him before he could finally get to me. But these things, I was so to pieces. I'm preaching, and I hear this terrible crash, and somehow I know it's my car. I'm parked out by the church. I go out. And my car's all smashed up. I mean, the lion was after me. And I was desperate. I'll never forget it. I went upstairs to my study, and I spread myself out on the floor. Often I do it when I'm desperate. I just got down on my face. And I said, God, without you, I'm finished. I have two small children. My ministry's done. I can't go on. I can't. You have to help me. I don't know what to do. I know that I believe in doctors, and I love doctors, and I appreciate them. But there's times that they can't. They're limited like other things, and I knew that they couldn't help me. I said, God, what should I do? And I said, whatever you tell me, I will do. Whatever it is, I'll do it. And just as clear, God said, now get up and start fasting again. Go back. Fast 3 more days right now. Don't eat. Fast. Pray. It's easy to tell this story. That's one of, it was like he said to me, jump off the Empire State Building. Because I got this way fasting. This is what happened to me. I'm fasting when I get like this. Now God says, you turn right around, you just stay with it. Keep on fasting. I said, yes. So whatever happens, happens. I'm going to do what he says. And the end of the third day, it was a Sunday night, the third day, I'll never forget it. I was walking on Avenue F and Ocean Parkway in Brooklyn, New York. And I was out there praying. After the meeting, I was out there praying. I'd been fasting those 3 days. And God spoke to me in powerful. It was like an audible voice. I mean, the power came down on me. I rushed back and God said, I can't tell you, but what he said happened. It was incredible what he said to me. And I knew I had that lion by the throat. I went back to Jean and woke her up. And I said, Jean, it's all over. We got the devil by the neck. He's licked. Hallelujah. I'm going to win. Hallelujah. 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 I said, we're going to win. It's not over. I'm coming back. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You, God has destined you to be a winner. Old Benaiah walked out of that pit with the lion on his back. Hallelujah. On the snowy day and freezing weather with little clothing to fight. But he walked out, and the day came that they crowned him. The King David had him walk in, and they said, Benaiah, the mighty warrior, someday you're going to walk in to the awesome presence of God. And God was to declare you a winner. You fought the lions. You fought the devil. You stood up to him. And you fought. And you took the word. And you believed it. And you stayed true. And you stayed the course. And you put him down. And you are a winner. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Got some lions tonight that need fighting? I want to give an altar call this evening for those that are in this kind of a battle. You have the enemy right on your doorstep fighting against you. But tonight, just stepping out of your seat and moving to this altar, you're now confronting your enemy. You're not coming down here as a coward. You're not coming down here to beg and plead, but you're stepping out and saying, no, I'm not going to go down in defeat to this thing. I'm coming and I'm going to confront this enemy, and this enemy is not going to triumph. Please just move in. It's not going to triumph over me. You know my story. I've shared it many times, but only share it for a moment for those who don't know it. After 9 years of suffering incredible panic attacks, from the age of 15 to 24, attacks had put me in the hospital on more than one occasion. I came to Christ, was reading my Bible. I read one verse of Scripture. If God be for us, who can be against us? And on the strength of that verse of Scripture, when one of these panic attacks tried to come on me one evening, I went down into my living room, just a brand new Christian, and I said these words, Satan, you can only kill me. That's all you can do. And you can only do it if God allows you to. And if he does allow you to kill me, then I'm going to heaven. It's a win-win situation for me. So I challenge you. I challenged him. Throw at me everything you've got. But I throw back at you what I now have. In the name of Jesus Christ, Son of God, all I said is I resist you. And folks, the power of God came on me that night and set me free. And that was probably 30 years ago now. I've known this victory. I've known what you heard preacher tonight. You've got to stand and fight. You've got to get the word of God in you. You have to stand up and take your rightful position in Christ. You have an enemy, but you have a defeated enemy standing against you, who all he can do is threaten you and make roaring gestures against you, but Christ Jesus has already defeated him. Hallelujah. Father, thank you tonight, God. Lord, there are marvelous victories happening this very moment at this altar. Lord, enemies are being vanquished. The power of evil is being destroyed. All it takes is for the believer to stand up and confront this defeated enemy in all of his pretended strength. God, we thank you, Lord, that in Christ we are more than conquerors. We are persuaded tonight, as Paul was, that neither death, nor life, nor power, nor principality, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Satan, we stand against you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pray with me tonight. Say these words, Satan, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I stand against you. I stand against your lies. I stand against your attacks. I am victorious over you because of the victory of Jesus Christ. In the power of His name, I say to you tonight, I resist you. I defeat you. And I rebuke you in the mighty, unmatchable, undefeatable name of Jesus, my Lord and my Savior. I win over you. Hallelujah. Give Him praise tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you. Bless God, bless God, bless God. Let a song of praise come into your heart tonight. Give Him glory in this house. Give Him glory tonight.
This is the conclusion of the message.